22. Ramiel.
You'll miss the world. That's fair. It used to be yours. But there's a reason we don't get to travel freely among the living, even as librarians. The earth is not meant for someone who can't treasure it. Time makes us clumsy, dulls our senses. Live too far past your tombstone and you turn a bit stone yourself. Nothing burns up humanity as thoroughly as eternity. One supposes that's why librarian is not a permanent position. We need to retain ourselves, retain our souls, if we're going to be any good to the books. My apprentice has an abundance of soul. That'll make her a good librarian. That will also make her an unhappy one. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1986 CE. The tides of the lake sloshed and shoved against the shore. The grinding churn in the air might have been the wear of water against gravel, or Uriel's teeth.
You can track them, Uriel gritted out.
It was an order, not a question.
Rami nodded.
I can. I got a measure of her soul in Valhalla. If she's lost anywhere on Earth, I can find her. It wasn't hard to judge where the librarian and her hellspawn would have gone. They'd taken the mists, the burial roads, and there was only one place those went, though usually in the opposite direction.
Do it,
Uriel had said, already turning away from the shore.
I have business to attend to.
Business? Rami blinked. What business could be more important than the Codex? The Valhalla sun was setting. Soon the realm would resurrect its dead, beginning the whole dreadful cycle again. The light hit Uriel askew as she turned, brightening her cap of white hair but turning the rest of her features into jagged relief. Her smile was slivered with shadow.
An opportunity for the bigger picture. You think too small, Ramiel.
It took time and cost to trace a soul. A sacrifice of cold stars and the ashes from his own flight feathers. But in the end, when the knowledge surged through him, it felt familiar, like slipping into well-worn shoes, tracing the weave of lifelines to find the one dropped thread. As he took on the role he had been cast away from, it felt comfortable and right. So right that it hurt when he released the power. Its departure left empty rivers in Rami, like indents on a violinist's fingertips, useless when away from the strings. But he had a location. He sent word, and when he arrived in Malta, Uriel was already perched on a tumbled pile of sandstone outside the city. She paid no mind to the humans that occasionally filtered by below her, and though she was invisible to them, Rami was relieved she had moderated her appearance somewhat. A sparse cream-colored coat with a military cut instead of a robe, and her shining white hair dulled to a mortal blonde. She'd shrunk a bit, so she towered only a few spare inches over most humans. But the passing crowd still veered a wide berth around her. Nothing could hide her presence. She was the face of God no matter what skin she wore. And right now that face was an intense, grit-teethed snarl. Fists clenched at her sides as she stared at the entrance, as if she could bring the walls down with simply the force of her gaze.
They're here,
she said as Rami stepped up and followed her eyes. Yes, the librarian's soul is in Mdina.
With the demons,
Uriel bit out. Rami assumed she meant the librarian and her companions. The way she growled it made cold form in his stomach. He picked a careful reply as he tried to suss out what plan Uriel had in mind.
Well, I'm surprised you waited for me then.
Not as if I had much of a choice.
Uriel finally dropped her gaze away from the walls and sighed.
It's warded against us.
Rami blinked.
What? The whole city?
Uriel nodded.
I'd heard tell of it, but never had need to see it for myself. The entire city, warded.
Something left over from one of the humans' petty wars.
Nothing not born of humankind, not angel or demon, or claimed by another realm, gets in without invitation from its residents.
Rami glanced at the thick sandstone walls with new interest.
Then how did the librarians get in?
That is a very good question, Uriel said. If the creator were receptive, we could have found a way in through the churches.
That startled Rami.
The creator is removed from the faithful as well?
A stroke of unease stirred at the back of his thoughts. The state of a realm was tied to belief, but also to the godhead that ruled it.
If those two become disconnected, well, Rami wasn't certain of the repercussions.
Uriel waved a hand as if to flick the irritation away.
It's no matter. I've made arrangements. They will come to us.
Rami frowned.
I very much doubt that. Why would they?
I have made arrangements. Second rule of demons. They always want something.
Uriel, smug and almost smiling, raised a brow at him.
They'll come to us. I have it on good authority that they'll have no other choice.
23. Claire. My dear apprentice, you learn so quickly, though it will be years yet before you learn all that is necessary to serve the library. I see the librarian you will become, fierce, strong, and yet with enough feeling heart to treat the books under your care kindly, perhaps even to bring much needed change to the library and the secrets it holds. The library needs you, Claire. So I can only beg your forgiveness for what I must do. Librarian Gregor Henry, 1989 CE.
Somewhere, someone had a pot of Earl Grey on. Earl Grey with citrus, Claire corrected, detecting the lemon drifting through the air. Her favorite, when not mixed with the smell of death. It soured her stomach. An old clock on the desk ticked, but otherwise there was no movement behind her near the body. Claire clenched her fingers, which were absolutely not trembling, and pretended to sort through the stack of books by the window.
May I ask why we just shot our only source of information for the pages of the Codex?
Andrus broke the silence. His voice mild.
Come to think of it, why isn't the well-armed guard outside rushing in at the sound of a gunshot? Hero said.
You need a body to need a bodyguard, Claire mumbled under her breath.
The help around here probably had strict instructions not to enter no matter what was heard.
Is she dead?
Leto's panic finally brought Claire's head around. The teenager looked even more pale than usual, if that was possible. He crouched over where the book collector lay, eyes wide as saucers as he extended a finger.
Don't touch Leto, she's...
Fine. Claire scooped up a few books at random and gave them an underhand lob. Flip through these, we're looking for loose sheaves of very old paper. The books fell to the floor with a clatter. Leto had made no move to catch them. He turned a look of horror on Claire. It was earnest with a cutting edge.
Fine? You killed someone!
No, I didn't, I...
Claire forced her jaw not to lock with tension.
Just start looking. Gentlemen, please, we don't have much...
She was cut off by a cry. Leto stumbled back, flinging himself away from the empty rug. An empty rug where, but a moment before, the prone body of the book collector had lain. A tacky pool of black blood and a slight impression in the crumpled carpet were the only indications left.
Much time, Claire finished.
She disappeared.
Leto stumbled to his feet.
She just disappeared.
Disappeared rather like a character from an unwritten book.
Hero held an increasingly suspicious glint in his eye as he turned toward Claire.
Now, why would a body do that, Warden?
As I said, we don't have much time.
Claire moved toward the desk and studied the drawers. Locked, of course. She began rifling through the detritus for a key.
Perhaps a very succinct explanation would speed things up,
Andris said. She found the key resting in the bottom of a cup of pens, exactly where she would have hidden it.
Pup. Claire,
Andris prompted softly. Claire's lips thinned and she let out a hard breath, staring at the key rather than at the others. It was dented. Tarnish discolored the grooves between the teeth. Because she is a character, that's why I shot her. Characters retreat to their books when damaged, assuming they aren't unable to do so like Hero here. It buys us time to find the codex pages while it's busy recomposing itself.
So you didn't kill her?
The relief was evident in Leto's sigh. Claire looked up and wished she hadn't. Color had drained from Leto's face. He was trembling, given away by the twitch of the coils of hair shadowing his eyes. He had the unsteady look of someone desperate to believe the best of people. Claire wished she wasn't going to disappoint him.
How do you know she was a character?
Hero asked, mercifully drawing her attention away.
Not that I don't disrespect a display of gratuitous violence.
Claire straightened.
Why wouldn't I? I'm a librarian.
And I'm a character and a book. I know how these things work.
Andris made a noise of agreement. Claire didn't dare look at him. She could take anything but pity from Andris. Instead, she picked up the key and worried at it. The teeth were dull but made a pleasant sting as she rasped the pad of her thumb against them. There had to be a way out of the story she didn't want to tell, a twist that would send them on to a happier story. She came up empty.
Because she's mine.
Her voice came out a whisper. She grimaced and cleared her throat.
She's a hero from one of my books.
The book in Leto's hands slipped to the floor with a thud and a likely crack of the spine. Claire didn't chide him to be careful.
I wasn't aware there was an outstanding book missing from the library, present company excluded.
Andris gave a nod at Hero. Claire felt it when the careful, bleak part inside her unlocked and the familiar guilt tumbled out. She studied the key in her hand. It was tarnished, impossibly dull. Claire rubbed at it with her thumb, but it didn't come clean. There isn't. I removed her from the library inventory after I helped her escape. The words fell on the ensuing silence like lead.
Well, finally the warden gets interesting, Hero muttered.
You helped a character, but when would you?
Understanding glanced into Andris's voice like a spark of fire.
Gregor.
A single word that Claire had avoided for 3 decades. It called up Claire's best memory of her mentor, tinged by fondness and guilt. He'd been somewhat young when he died the first time, much older when he died the second, but then years in the library never showed. Not on the outside. A paunchy, scholarly man. American. God, had Claire resented him at first. Acid slaked her throat.
It wasn't planned.
But it did occur.
The accusation in Andris's tone was obvious. Claire squeezed her eyes closed.
Gregor was...
The world tilted and swallowed Claire's words. She nearly fell over the desk as the floorboards bucked beneath her feet. A long, echoing groan shuddered through the air as if the earth had torn itself open, followed quickly by a distant, deep howl. Claire's eyes flew wide, all explanations forgotten. It wasn't the howl of a dog or even a wolf, of wild things and forests. No, it was a howl of deeper places, dark pits and tears that tasted of anise.
No.
What was that sound?
Leto was the only other one to sway as the room bucked again. He dug into his pocket at the same time Claire fished out her lighter. She muttered a useless prayer before opening her palm. The lighter sat cold and dark. No flame bobbed in the liquid. No glow warmed her skin. An unnatural cold settled over the little lighter. A quick glance said Leto's lighter was the same.
Claire's voice was weak as all the air seemed to have left the room.
Not. I thought we had more time.
Warden? Something about Claire's expression must have made Hero's hand stray to the gun in his coat pocket. He and Andra showed no sign of feeling the shuddering of the floor, though Claire and Leto could barely stay on their feet. Claire wheeled in place once before deciding on what to do and snatching Leto by the shoulder. He made a startled sound as she forced him into the gap between the bookcases in a corner and backed up in front of it. It was pointless. It was doomed. She did it anyway. Leto's breath wheezed past her ear as he caught on to her panic.
Claire, what's going on?
It took a moment to realize Hero had been repeating her name. Not Warden, but her actual name. She closed her eyes and tried to shove her drumming heartbeat back into her chest. It took another try to wet her mouth enough to speak.
Andras, I don't suppose you brought anything that...
Nothing that would stop them, pup.
Andras's face was not made for compassion. The pitying look was disturbing on his sharp features. Her ears thundered again with howls.
I know that, Claire snapped. Her eyes flickered over the room. The door led down the stairs to the street.
But what good would descending them do?
Doesn't mean I have to make it easy for them.
For who?
Hero raised his voice, nearly drowned out. The floorboards shuddered beneath her feet, as if something impossibly large had slammed into the building. Claire braced herself against the wall for support. She squeezed her eyes shut, swallowing down the bile that rose in her before answering.
Hellhounds.
Hero's frown froze, and their collective gaze turned toward the door. Creatures had to be terrible to escape hell, and the hunters sent after them had to be even more terrible. Hellhounds were not made to retrieve, for hell gave no second chances. They were made to destroy. Hellhounds didn't stop to listen to reason or defenses. Their jaws tore through not just flesh and bone, but soul and spirit. They could rage through the world unseen, and neither time nor space nor reason would placate them. Once they'd been loosed, they'd stop only once they had you in their jaws. They were made to eliminate. They were made to be tireless, and they were made to be ruthless. When their ghost lights expired, Claire and Leto had officially become lost souls, and lost souls were within the Hellhounds' purview. They would hunt their prey to the ends of the earth. The room rocked again, but though the howling had become nearly incessant, it didn't sound any closer. Her pulse pounded in her throat once, twice, three times, but nothing came through the door. Hellhounds could ghost through wood, stone, steel. When on the trail of an escaped soul to destroy, they were relentless. Nothing stopped them. Nothing should have stopped them. Andras was the first to move to the window, and he stilled as if transfixed.
Claire, you might want to see this.
Claire glanced at Leto, wide-eyed and panicked behind her. She was unsteady as she pushed away from the bookcase and joined Andras at the window.
What?
There.
The apartment they were in was built into one of the tiered walls of the city, which gave the window a clear view of the grassy moat and sun-baked fields beyond. She took in the massive walls, the bridge with a thinning stream of travelers flowing through, the way the afternoon sun's light was syrup and honey across the fields, dappled with old buildings beyond. She looked down. Directly beneath the wall, darkness moved. Creatures, large as lorries and composed entirely of smoke and jagged shadow, prowled the thick city wall. Howls like cudgels and bodies like secrets. There was a handful of them, and they swarmed like airborne sharks, drifting over the empty moat that surrounded the city. Each took a turn throwing its massive body against the walls, and each time one did, the floor shuddered, and Leto and Claire flinched.
It appears they're stopped, Andras said.
Nothing stops hellhounds. What in the world is holding them? Claire wondered.
The Treaty of Mdina.
The voice was low. Too low to be Leto's, too human to be Andras's, too serious to be Hero's.
Claire spun. The collector stood very still a few steps from Claire, familiar enough to make her heart clench. The deep brown skin at her neck was smooth, showing no sign of the gunshot wound. Dark twists of hair curled neatly over a strong, composed face.
What the hell?
Hero already had his pistol leveled, but Claire held a hand up. The collector's eyes were deep and calm, and though Claire stared, she couldn't quite bear to meet them. She studied her mouth instead. Her lips were parted on words Claire wasn't sure she could stand to hear, but she had to.
Talk, Claire said.
The book collector's shoulders dropped a little, as if she'd been expecting a warmer greeting.
During the last great war, there was a treaty, sealed with wards. This city has been warded against anything not of mortal make for years. It means you and your people are safe.
Claire shook her head. Hellhounds are too powerful to be stopped. The woman, because even Claire couldn't pretend she was just a character, shrugged, shoulders rolling in such a graceful, familiar way Claire found it hard to breathe.
They've tried before, but the wards have held for decades. No demons, no angels, no servants of any realm can breach it.
The quaint little greeting that their guide had performed at the gates. It had been a ritual, an invitation. Claire said,
You knew we were coming. You let us in.
The woman nodded.
Anything restricted by the wards needs an invitation from a resident. When I realized what I had, I'd hoped. I set one of my people to watch for you.
And you are?
Andrus waved his hand impatiently.
I'm gathering McAllister is not your true name.
She hesitated, eyes straying to Claire. There was uncertainty in the gaze, and it hurt. It already hurt. There was no salvaging it. Claire jerked a nod, and the woman inclined her head to Andrus, though it was not a warm look.
You can call me Beatrice.
How Shakespearean.
Hero lowered his gun slightly.
Now that imminent doom isn't upon us all, explanations are in order.
Claire scoffed.
We absolutely don't have the time to.
Actually, if your character is telling the truth, we have a great deal of time, which we will need since she has yet to reveal the pages, and we have yet to figure out a way to deal with the hounds.
When Claire turned, Andrus had a narrow look for her, as if he were trying to make a particularly bothersome puzzle piece fit.
It is relevant to our interests.
Claire's gaze fell on Leto, who looked trapped between terror and confusion. And he was trapped, caught in the mess that Claire had made of her own past. If nothing else, she owed it to him. She drew a small breath and faced the window again. Staring at the hellhounds was the cowardly option, but she took it as she considered where to begin.
I wasn't even the librarian yet. Newly dead, it might have been, what, 1989?
Only a few years working in the library under Gregor, the former librarian.
I loved the library at first.
Yes, I was distraught at the idea of being dead.
Hell is an alarming thing to wake up to. But the library itself was magical. I loved books when I was alive, and the idea that they were preserved there was beautiful. Beautiful but lonely.
The quiet pressed and prodded at her shoulders. It almost made Claire grateful for the howling hellhounds. Librarians have always been unwritten authors, and it's natural for unwritten authors to be curious about their own books. It wasn't hard to find them. At first, I spent my free time merely walking the stacks, staring hard at the spines with my name on them as I walked by. That progressed to touch. I knew better than to read them, but I found any excuse to work in the shelves moving books around them. I suppose it was the attention, the curiosity that did it.
Your book woke up,
Hero supplied grimly.
One of them, yes.
A low sigh wisped behind her.
Oh, pup,
Andras said. Claire flinched at the pity. Her shoulders had crept up with tension, but she had to barrel on. If she stopped, she'd never get through it. Frightened the holy hell out of me one day while I was straightening the shelves. She was just... Claire resolutely avoided looking at the unwritten woman in question. Resolutely avoided remembering how seeing her for the first time, there in the library, so immediate and so familiar, so alive in a place of dead things. She did not remember how that felt. Did not remember the twist in her breath, the sharp thrill of wanting. Did not feel the old hurt. I recognized her instantly. She was part of me. One of the parts of me I would have written into a book, if I'd written one while I was alive.
You said this was in the library, though.
She escaped? Leto asked. Not then. She didn't need to at first. I hid her. Her voice had become quiet, clipped as she tried to get through the tale with the fewest words possible. The library by necessity is infinitely vast and always changing. Even a tenured librarian can't locate a single book without a calling card. That's why we have the systems in place to avoid missing books. There were plenty of places to hide a hero.
Why?
I wasn't as big on rules back then as I am now. Claire gave Leto a tight-lipped smile. For what reason? Foolishness or loneliness? It doesn't matter now.
It mattered to me,
Beatrice said, almost too soft to be heard. Claire's throat tightened. In any case, librarians hold the reins of their libraries. Soon hiding wasn't enough. I concocted a simple plan to get her out. I would get her past the wards, delay the alarms triggering. The idea was that I would go with Gregor to assist hunting for her. Then I would slip away with her calling card. There would be the matter of outrunning the hellhounds, but we would have a ghost light for a head start and...
And no one would stop Claire when she put her mind to something.
Beatrice's comment made Claire finally look at her, giving an unreadable shrug.
Something obviously went wrong, Hero said.
Claire hesitated, but Beatrice took over. She spoke haltingly with a slight velvety accent. Her words weren't measured or polished, but had a steadfast certainty that felt like a lifeline.
We got caught. Librarian Gregor found out somehow. I suspect he knew the whole time. Never was certain. But he was waiting there for us the night I planned to leave. He had my calling card in his hands, and he intended to enslave me in that place, stamp me to special collections.
Stamping, the monster, Hero said with a look of mocking horror.
Claire stopped him,
Beatrice said firmly, and a recoil of disgust shot through Claire.
Stop, just stop.
Claire found it difficult to press the words between clenched teeth.
At least do him the honor of telling it accurately. I murdered him.
The pronouncement came out louder than she had intended, and hung suffocating in the air. Claire didn't care to see how it landed with anyone, the looks they were giving her. A cauldron of memories, hurts, fears bubbled up in her chest, and it took a great effort to lower her voice. She dropped her eyes and said it again, testing the truth on her lips.
I murdered Gregor.
Leto let out a wounded sound.
But that's impossible. In the library.
In the library there are words. Fail-safes. Claire explained evenly. Words taught only to librarians for the defense of the library. Words that will unravel a soul like the hellhounds do. It doesn't work on things native to hell, of course. Not on demons like Andras. But on human souls or creatures of other realms, it evicts them, unmakes and banishes a soul like waving away a puff of smoke. They don't die, of course, but it can take decades, centuries for a human soul to reassemble. Gregor had just taught me those words, warned I might need them someday when I was librarian. Claire spoke through bile rising in her throat.
Someday, he said.
and the words just came out. I hadn't even thought they would work. I mean, he was the librarian. Why would...
She stopped herself. Her gaze dragged up against her will. Leto's mouth hung open in abject dismay, while Hero's face was blank. Andrus, bloody Andrus, actually smiled. It was a soft thing, a proud thing. The next howl of the hellhounds she felt in her bones. I saw his face when I did it. He'd been calm, so calm up to that point. Gregor was always so infuriatingly at peace with his work. But then I invoked the words. There was surprise, pain, confusion. Then there was an unquenchable terror. And he was gone. There was a silence that was difficult not to fill with a scream. Claire had screamed quite a bit in the horror-torn hours afterward.
Why don't I know these words? Andrus said.
Hero made a disgusted noise.
Really, Arcanist? That's what you're getting from this?
Maybe Hell doesn't trust you as much as you thought. Claire plowed ahead, barreling toward the end of the story now. Not as if it had ever really ended for her. It just echoed on and on. Beatrice's presence proved that. I couldn't leave after that. Too much chaos to clean up. I removed any record of Beatrice of my book from our inventory. I buried the rest of my books in the stack so it would never happen again. I let everyone assume I'd been promoted, that Gregor's soul had gone to rest. There were rumors, of course, but Hell prefers rumors to investigation. I became librarian. Andrus helped with that. She tilted her head, considering his reaction. Did you suspect?
That you banished your own mentor in a peak of infatuation? No.
That unpleasant smile formed on Andrus's lips again.
I suspected something tragic had occurred. You were not as you are now, my girl. I wish you'd told me.
Wait. Hero held up a hand and shot a look at Beatrice as if he'd just tasted something sour. She did all that for you, killed for you, sentenced herself to hell, and you still just left?
Beatrice's gaze didn't waver.
Yes, I left.
Such valor, such heroism.
Hero's lip curled, something akin to real anger sharpening his gaze.
You obviously cared for her a great deal.
Beatrice's demeanor chilled.
Don't presume to speak about things you don't understand.
I understand perfectly a coward who... Enough! It's past!
The last thing Claire needed was two snarling heroes giving her a headache.
You're a murderer!
The pure venom in Leto's whisper jolted the air in the room. Claire turned to find him staring at her with an alien look of disgust.
You killed someone who trusted you. For what? For a crush? For her?
Claire's mouth fell open. She expected judgment, deserved it even, but not from quiet, thoughtful Leto.
It's not like...
She reached out a hand, but the boy jerked back.
Liar!
He said it with a cutting softness. His lips trembled, opening and closing around his disappointment. Leto turned and stalked out of the room. A moment later, there was the sound of the front door snapping shut.
He's upset, Hero stated the obvious, though it seemed to perplex him. Shall I go after him?
Claire shook her head.
No, he's not wrong.
And, she thought bitterly, they had nowhere to go anyway. She raised her face, looking at each of the remaining men in turn. She saw herself reflected in their eyes, changed. Respect, disgust, it didn't matter. It was a grotesque kind of mirror. But when no one else stormed from the room, Claire straightened her shoulders and turned to Beatrice.
You became a book collector.
Beatrice took a breath, a smile warming her serious features.
I did. Antiquities dealer, technically. Turns out my previous experience as a protagonist didn't leave me with many marketable skills besides tenacity.
Claire made no effort to return the smile. A book collector with pages of the Codex Gigas in a magically shielded city.
That does seem to be quite the coincidence, Andra said.
Beatrice's smile faded.
I found Mdina shortly after I escaped. If you'd come with...
She stopped herself. Started again.
The Codex find was a recent turn of events. I'd become a book collector, yes. I found a partner, Avery, with an interest in the obscure and arcane. I had gleaned just enough understanding from the library to feed him bits of trivia to seem useful. I'd been chasing the rumors of the missing pages for years, only found them in the possession of an unaware French farmer's family a few months ago. Avery got a lead out of nowhere, tried to steal from me before he passed. I should have seen it coming. Cancer riddled at the end, obsessed with gods and demons, immortality. I'd thought they would probably end up to be fakes or copies, but I admit I'd held out hope that if they turned out to be authentic.
You kept them here, Andrus interjected, eyes glittering and keen. Did you read them? Do they really contain?
Not the issue at hand, Andrus, Claire said. Beatrice risked a penitent look. Her hand hovered, as if her mind had a thought to reach out to Claire, but the rest of her knew better.
I knew if they were authentic, there was a chance. I knew someone from the library would be after them. As I said, I had a man watch the gates.
For what purpose? To trap us here?
You're not trapped, just shielded, Beatrice faltered.
Her hands were calloused from use, but just as slender as Claire remembered. They raked helplessly through her hair once, and her curls came away softly mussed.
You are free to leave if you wish, but in the meantime nothing can get in without an invitation, and I doubt the hellhounds have the social graces to communicate with anyone.
As grateful as I am for invisible monsters, I... A terrible thought struck her. Claire took a step forward.
Does the ward guard against angels?
The unwritten woman frowned.
Like from heaven?
Yes, I suppose it would. And if they got a mortal to invite them in? Hellhounds were mindless, but angels had every social grace when properly motivated.
That would grant them entry.
Angels. If the angels found them there, they would be cornered without an escape. The Codex would be lost, and likely, so would they. It was ridiculous, but focusing on a danger she could address helped her ignore the hellhounds thrumming doom into her skull. How many gates are there into the city?
4 main gates, not counting the catacombs,
but those haven't been used in...
Andrus, Claire turned. I needed to stretch my legs anyway.
Andrus stood and cracked his neck. He furrowed his brow at Claire.
If you're certain?
Watch for them and secure an exit. We'll need to figure out a way out of here, hellhounds or not.
Andrus nodded and sauntered through the hall.
Beatrice waited until the door shut again.
Not necessarily, you know.
Claire had turned to confer with Hero, but she narrowed her eyes.
I beg your pardon.
Beatrice gripped her arms as if anchoring herself. Her voice was quiet again.
You don't have to find a way out. You could stay, as long as you wanted.
You could stay.
The words Beatrice said struck Claire in the chest, and then what she hadn't said.
With her.
And what they meant together.
To leave hell behind.
The prospect snagged her breath and she had to work her lips a few times before the proper words beat out the longing ones.
Where's the Codex, Beatrice?
You could stay. That was always the plan, wasn't it, to...
Claire gritted her teeth against the words.
Where are the pages?
I'm not asking anything of you. You don't have to be with me. You could stay anywhere in the city and hell couldn't...
Claire felt heat overwhelming her eyes and she spun, instead focusing a furious scowl that startled Hero into taking a step back. He'd been silent through the entire exchange, a small miracle.
Claire found it easy to ignore the muddled questions on his face.
It's here somewhere. Watch her. I'm going to go fetch Leto and form a course of action.
She heard Beatrice make a sound of protest behind her.
If she tries anything, shoot her.
Hero gave her an uncertain version of his standard cavalier smile.
As you say, Warden.
Beatrice tried another entreaty, but Claire spun and stormed toward the door. 24. Brevity.
I would never dishonor my elders, but there were times when I thought Fleur was a frivolous old woman. She held my leash as I was her apprentice, and she made decisions that seemed so effortless, thoughtless to me. I judged her for it. But I understand now. The leash gave me something to pull against, to argue, to form my own opinions, but never bear any of the risk of the choice. It's easy to be brave on a leash. Now the muses argue and whittle away at me. Demons salivate over books. The arcanist questions my every judgment. It's hard to be brave alone. Librarian Yoon Ji Han, 1799 CE. All works accounted for. Brevity had run the inventory twice just to be certain, three times to verify she was not hallucinating. It had taken long enough that Aurora had retreated to the damsel suite to sleep, but the third inventory matched the first two. The blue ledger printed the results in neat, spidery ink that bloomed across the page. No oddities, and all unwritten books accounted for. There was Hero's book, of course, which was listed tidily as Out on Loan. But all other books, paintings, and other uncreated art were secure in the unwritten wing. Aurora had been insistent that there'd been someone in the stacks. Claire might have dismissed it as a figment of the damsel's imagination, but Brevity knew imagination. It hadn't been imagination that had driven Aurora to speak, or the shelves to shiver. But it made no sense, someone creeping into the library and not removing anything. The only ones that could enter the library when it was closed were its current residents, books and artifacts, and those that took care of them. Those that took care of them. The arcane wings pet horrors, clawed hands drifting over shadowed gems. Brevity suppressed a shudder. She tried to think of any rationale around it, anything that would let her just shake the whole thing off and brew the herbal teas Claire hated and binge on the damsel's baked goodies until the whole thing was settled. It wasn't what Claire would do. Claire would stare down a horror and solve the whole mystery with the power of superior disdain. No, Brevity amended. Perhaps she wouldn't, because she'd never believe there was a mystery in the first place. Brevity wasn't Claire. And never could be. Brevity stood, head briefly turning toward the damsel suite. She spared a thought for Walter in his office. Someone would surely be willing to accompany her, give her a reason to be brave as she checked on horrors. Brevity had always been better at being brave for others than for herself. But the damsels couldn't leave the library. Walter had his own duties, and Claire had told Brevity to care for the wing. Brevity stowed the ledger, abandoned her tea, and locked the doors behind her as she wound her way down to the arcane wing. The monstrous doors of the arcane wing should have been barred and locked, since that was what Claire and Andrus had agreed, which would give Brevity the nice excuse that, hey, at least she'd checked. But the doors were not barred and locked. After Brevity skipped down the last steps, she skidded to a stop on the dusty hardwood, just short of the reaching shadows cast by the wide double doors of the arcane wing, which stood open. She wound seafoam hair around her finger and gave it an anxious tug as she took a step over the threshold. The arcane wing felt much as it always had, a slithering, hostile composition of shadow and steel. The air was weighted with cold, clinical things, dust and formaldehyde, rubies and neglect. The arcane wing had never been a bright place, but even the domed work lights were dimmed, throwing the cavernous space into thick eddies of gloom. Brevity hesitated in the island of light created by the hallway, not quite prepared to dive in.
Hello? Is anyone?
Her voice and courage failed as the ravens unleashed a series of shrieks from the rookery. Otherwise, the arcane wing was silent. She didn't have to venture far in to be certain of it. No demons, no horrors, nothing. It should have been reassuring, not having to face the monsters she went looking for. And Brevity's shoulders disengaged from hugging her ears until the thought occurred to her. If they're not here, then they're somewhere else. The breath stopped in Brevity's throat, and her leg muscles seized. It was the unknown that did it. It was an easy mistake to make, thinking fear was the ultimate domain of demons. They looked the part. Or mortals. They had such fleeting things to lose. But humans were constantly changing, and demons were creatures of certainty. The truth was no one, knew fear like muses. Fear was an operation of the imagination, the ability to see an empty space and imagine. Imagine what might be there, the possibilities filling in what reality left blank. To be afraid was an exercise of self-inspired suffering, and Brevity wore inspiration in her skin. It burned now, the edge of the blue tattoo writhing against the fine bones of her wrist and hungry to be peeled loose. In Brevity's mind, black sickle claws raked over gems and artifacts one moment, her skin the next, plucking the soft strings of her veins, shredding her. In her mind, the horrors reached out so surely from the dark she could hear them. It didn't matter that they weren't there, couldn't be there. If she released the inspiration guilt in her skin, pure potential, it would make it real. A raven shriek brought her back to her senses. Her hand hovered halfway over her wrist. Brevity didn't try to calm the shuddering heart in her chest, didn't try to fight the panic that washed over her. She knew from experience that was no good. Instead, she released it, turned her back on the unseen claws, and ran. She should go to Walter. She would go to Walter. She would be safe with Walter, and she would send a message to Claire on Earth, and Claire could come back and deal with it, and Brevity could be brave for someone else again. That's what she needed to do. She just needed to navigate down the hallways, avoid the horrors and her own fear long enough to make it to the transport office and summon Claire. She could do it. She didn't remember throwing open the doors of the unwritten wing, but she must have locked them behind her. Her knees hit an unwritten rug, and the disappointment she felt was a distant, muted thing. She was devoting too much effort to trying to stop her short, rabbit-quick breath. Of course she hadn't made it to Walter. Of course she'd not warned Claire, had run instead to cower and hide. Muses could imagine anything, inspire anything in an author, but for themselves? All Brevity gave herself was fear. She was here now, but even her mounting anxiety wanted her to do something. Her hands trembled as she dug through the drawers and came up with a small silver box. Brevity squinted at the words inside, cursing Claire's cramped handwriting. Eventually, she sorted out three squares of translucent vellum. One violet, one red, one black. Dreams, blood, ink. The fibers burned her fingers, and Brevity forced herself to focus on the pain as she uncovered the flame of a gas lamp. One paper, then another, went up in a shriek of smoke as Brevity mumbled the written commands. Her voice was hoarse, words dragged over broken glass, but the library understood her anyway. The air tightened, then snapped in a hiss of anise and ash. One, two, three wards sealing off the unwritten wing from the rest of existence once again. The air took on an unnatural silence, the taste of hell fading from the roof of Brevity's mouth. She fell back against the desk, thinking for a moment she could summon up a feeling of silliness, of shame. If the silliness came, that would mean she was wrong about the shadows, wrong about the fear. It would still be a failure, having run back here instead of investigating further, but at least that would mean that she hadn't lost her chance to summon help in the face of an actual threat. Claire could get back and scold her for sealing the library, and they could laugh about it. Brevity could take her scolding and make it into a joke, and... Dust fluttered from the shelves. The papers on Claire's desk rippled as if an errant breeze had shivered by. Brevity's breath stuttered, clenching when a barely audible boom vibrated. Far away, like a soft finger plucking strings. Nails dragging along glass. An outer ward being probed by a curious hand, too weak to knock properly. Whoever it was should give up, go away, realize the library was closed, and... The next shudder reached in between her ribs, jostling her chest as the whole wing creaked. Again, increasing in frequency and strength until it was a war drum. Because that's what it was. Not a knock, not an idle curiosity of a passing demon. Someone was knocking, and would keep knocking until it was granted entrance. Brevity's resolve shriveled in her chest, strangling her breath along with it, and she sank to the floor, alone.